Business Means Hugh Caroy here in the studio. Good evening to you. Great to see you.
Hi, Mark.
Giorgia Meloni marks 3 years in office. In many ways, defying initial expectations. Yuka's got more about how those 3 years have gone.
Yeah, especially on the economy, the Italian Prime Minister has earned praise for her fiscal prudence as she managed to rein in public deficit, leading to a recent credit ratings upgrade. But beneath the surface, the Italian economy isn't in all that great shape, with persistent structural weaknesses, low productivity and an ageing population. In the second quarter of 2025, GDP actually shrank from the previous 3 months. Daniel Quinlan takes a closer look.
Governing is very different to criticising governments, and despite her background as a hard-right activist for a party with fascist roots, her first 3 years in government has drawn praise for stability and good economic management. She's brought down the deficit, and her government expects that to continue with 3% this year. And technocrats at the IMF have been happy to give her credit where credit's due.
We noted Italy's significant deficit outperformance last year. According to the data, this year will also be better than expected. It's fantastic.
Unemployment has also dropped 7.2% to 6% this year, all of which has been rewarded by a recent upgrade by the credit ratings agency Fitch. But underlying these good top-line numbers are some statistics that hint at less rosy structural problems. Youth unemployment has crept up almost 2% this year alone. Industrial output is down 7.5% since she took over government, and labour productivity has barely grown. And while Meloni has tamed public spending, the country's public debt load is the second highest in the Eurozone behind Greece. Growth remains anemic, below the EU average, and voices in the business community are urging Meloni to start tackling the underlying structural problems holding back the economy.
There was also some luck. Meloni's government benefited from a lot of extra cash that came its way.
Well, Mark, Ms. Meloni took office after the European Union launched the Recovery and Resilience Facility, a 750 billion euro package of loans and grants earmarked to help member states recover from the COVID pandemic. Italy got the largest share, with funds totaling more than 194 billion euros. That's around 9% of its GDP. Despite all that cash, Italy's economy is lagging behind its peers. Critics say the money has been scattered across local projects with little economic impact, unlike Spain's targeted approach to incentivize businesses and attract investment. Italy's notorious bureaucracy and slow processes are still seen as an obstacle by foreign investors. Some economists warn that without the EU's financial lifeline, Italy might be in recession today. A real test awaits Meloni's government as that programme expires next year, Mark.
Now, the markets, at least, welcomed the fiscal discipline.
Yeah, Italy's
fiscal stability under Meloni's government.
That's right. But Italy's borrowing costs has come down significantly since she came to power to match France's, and even recently went below it. As you can see here, currently the yields on the 10-year government bonds are almost equal for Italy and for France. For reference, they're still way above Germany's, though, which is around 2.6%.
Okay, let's put Giorgia Meloni to one side. 3 years on the job, congratulations to her. Let's go on to a dispute over a Dutch semiconductor company, raising concern about supply disruptions in the European car industry.
It's really spreading across the continent. German auto giant Volkswagen on Wednesday warned that temporary production stoppages could not be ruled out as a result of China's export restrictions on chips made by Nexperia. Now, Beijing took the move in response to an extraordinary move by the Dutch government last month to seize control of Nexperia, that is owned by a Chinese company, with products mostly packaged in China. The Netherlands invokes a Cold War-era law called the Goods Availability Act, citing serious governance shortcomings by Nexperia's management. Both the company and the Netherlands have tried to calm the situation by saying talks with China would secure exemptions from countermeasures. The EU's trade commissioner on Tuesday said he was in touch with both the Chinese and the Dutch government on the matter, as he called for a swift resolution to Beijing's wider restrictions on rare earth exports. Let's take a listen.
I'm reassured by the intention expressed by both sides to de-escalate the situation and work towards a practical agreement that will restore supply chains, provide much needed certainty and prevent production halts around the globe.
Next, are they about to say, that's all, folks? Warner Brothers is considering the sale of some or all of its holdings.
Well, the US media giant says that it's exploring the possibility, citing interest from buyers. The group owns HBO, CNN and other networks and Warner Brothers movie studios with film properties like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. The announcement comes after Warner reportedly rejected a recent buyout offer from Paramount. Brian Quinn has more on the latest in the shakeup of America's media landscape.
Some of America's most iconic media brands up for sale. Warner Brothers Discovery announced Tuesday that it's considering offloading parts or even all of its businesses for the right price. Those businesses include the Warner Brothers film studios, streaming platforms HBO Max and Discovery Plus, cable channels TNT, TBS and Discovery, and news titan CNN. In a statement released Tuesday, CEO David Zaslav says the country is seeking to maximize shareholder value after unsolicited interest.
After receiving interest from multiple parties, we have initiated a comprehensive review of strategic alternatives to identify the best path forward to unlock the full value of our assets.
The announcement comes after two reported takeover attempts by rival media giant Paramount Skydance, which just closed its own $8 billion merger in August. It's now headed by David Ellison, the son of Oracle founder Larry Ellison, who is a friend to Donald Trump and, for a brief moment last month, the world's richest man. Paramount Skydance is keen to absorb Warner Discovery's 126 million streaming subscribers and its higher revenues. Meanwhile, Netflix and Comcast are also reportedly among the other parties interested in an acquisition. Warner Brothers Discovery says a previously planned corporate split that would see its cable channels spun off from its streaming services remains among its options. Any acquisition, though, would mean further consolidation in America's already heavily consolidated corporate media landscape.
And that's all. Quotes from the business desk.
You can with the business back later with more. Stay with us, more news to come.